At a recent church meeting, we decided to have a slightly different service. And this morning, I'd like us to think about human sexuality, and especially homosexuality, using the recent United Reformed Church booklet, Living with Differences, Deepening Dialogue. And in this booklet, it says that there are broadly three views in the United Reformed Church concerning homosexuality. Now, the first view is that biblical truth says that the only right sexual activity is between a man and a woman in marriage. It says that both the Bible and Christian tradition teach that the right way for human sexuality is only within marriage between a man and a woman. God made men and women to complement one another. And so sexual relationships between two men or between two women is contrary to God's purpose for men and for women. The second view is this, that biblical truth says that God is gracious and welcoming to all people, regardless of their sexuality, and calls some people into same-sex relationships. And so, God is calling some people into a committed, loving, same-sex relationship, and these should only be judged upon the fruits of the Spirit which they produce. Biblical references which condemn homosexuality in today's society are no longer relevant. What matters are grace, love, and faithfulness. And so the church should be welcoming people who come together in a civil partnership where the two people are of the same sex. The third view is this, that the church has got far more important things to consider than human sexuality and homosexuality. And the whole issue of human sexuality, and particularly homosexuality, is a distraction. What the church should be getting on with is faithful worship and faithful living. The national church shouldn't make any rules for the local church to follow concerning sexuality, and in particular homosexuality, but should leave the local church to make decisions for itself. So they are the very broadly the three views which I would imagine we find within our church, and also I would imagine are found in all the mainstream Christian churches today. So what does the Bible say? Well, when we read the Bible, there aren't that many references to homosexuality, and what there are condemn it. Look at Genesis chapter 19, and in that chapter, God destroys the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because the people in them have lusted after homosexual sex. Then we turn to Leviticus, and in our reading from Leviticus, it says that when two men have sex with each other, it's an abomination, and both men should be put to death. Paul, writing to the Romans, in the New Testament, of course, says that when two men have sex with each other, or two women have sex with each other, then that is something which is a perversion. And so, taken literally, the Bible prohibits and condemns sex between two men and sex between two women. But what we could also say is that there are other areas of the Bible which today we no longer follow. In Deuteronomy, the people are prohibited from eating pigs, but many Christians today eat pork. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he says that women should not address the congregation. But for many years, our church has had women lay preachers and women ministers. And this is a practice of most Christian churches. Jesus says that people who are divorced shouldn't remarry. But many churches and many ministers, including myself, remarry folk who have been divorced. So it could be said that society's changed, our attitude towards sex has changed, and so the biblical teaching about homosexual or gay practice is no longer relevant. What matters, as was said by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, is our relationship with Jesus Christ, not our nationality, not our social status, and not our sexual orientation. Finally, let me share with you a couple of hypothetical cases from that United Reformed Church document. The first one is this. There's a woman called Sheila, age 45. She's been a member of the church for many years. She was married with a couple of children, but her husband was abusive and violent, and eventually Sheila got a divorce to protect both herself and her children. And throughout this, her church was both supportive and caring. And following the divorce, Sheila seemed to be a happier person. And 3 years after it, she became very friendly with a lady called Elaine. And sometime after that, she spoke to her elder and said that she and Elaine proposed to live together, and that since she'd been with Elaine, she'd felt more fully herself and more fully cared for than ever before. And she wanted to introduce Elaine to the congregation. And so the questions arose, what do you think Mary, her elder, would feel about this, and if Sheila went ahead, what do you think the congregation would feel about it? Now, the second hypothetical case is this one. Tim and Chris are both active in the church. They're both in their 30s. Tim is pulpit supply, and Chris is church treasurer. They're very friendly, and some of the congregation know that they're in a gay relationship. Others just think they're very good friends. And Tim and Chris decided that they want to make their deep friendship more official, as it were. And so they decide to enter into a civil partnership as a sign of their committed love for one another. And they also approach their minister and ask him if they could have a blessing service for their civil partnership, because they want God's blessing upon it, and also they want to celebrate it publicly. Ideally, they would get married, but they realise that with the present situation in this country, that isn't legally possible. And so the questions arise: how do we feel, Tim and Chris, feel about approaching their minister, and how do we think their minister feels?